welcome, giant fucking robots. Nothing like swearing in the first 5 seconds. Here we go, Red Leaf Retrocast. My episode today, JD, the guy who sounds ill yet again. What a great year this has been for me, guys.
You've been drinking your orange juice?
I gotta start taking like some vitamins or shit, because this has been... I haven't been this consistently sick since like junior high.
Yeah.
This is so bad. Because the last time, that weekend, we tried to record Giant Fucking Robots, I got sick. And then we delayed it about, what, 6 weeks now?
I just think they don't want us talking about giant fucking robots.
They don't want us talking about giant fucking robots. It's terrible. But I was thinking about it, and I was like, I think I've been sick every single month this year except June and July with, like, the same thing, or more or less. A cold or a flu. This time, I'm pretty sure it was the flu. Went to the clinic. He's like, you got a cold. And then I proceeded to just not have a good time, and it got clearly worse. And I'm like, oh, man. Bad shit. Times. Nothing like being sick alone, guys. I say it every time. It's the worst. It's the absolute worst. Just trying to go to the store and get medicine is just so taxing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, being that I've been ill yet again, and I don't want to talk about work because that's very stressful, and I like talking about video games and anime and wrestling. Wrestling's depressing right now because AEW sucks now. Joey, what have you been playing?
Why do you think AEW sucks now?
Well, because it's WWE now. Or TNA. Take your pick.
I don't think it's that bad.
I think it's bad.
I don't know. Orange Cassidy's having a good run.
Sort of. Anyways. You're what have you been playing, Joey?
We'll
save the
Spider-Man
AEW debate
2.
For the wrestling podcast.
I beat Spider-Man 2, 100% at that game.
Wow. That was fast. So,
nice.
Yeah, it wasn't really too long. And it was pretty easy to 100%. So all the achievements, I got like 95% of it done just playing the game. So.
Ooh. Well, I guess that doesn't sound very hard, does it?
Yeah. No, I only had to look up one of them, where the location of one item is from the Miles Morales game that was left over to complete an achievement. And then I beat Remnant 2 on the easiest setting, and oh my god, I hate that boss. The final boss in that game is bullshit. And I went on Reddit and saw a little nice debate, which made me think that the guy had a correct opinion. People who like soul-like games are okay with shitty boss designs just because they're hard. And they'll fight tooth and nail to say it's a good boss because it's hard, even though it's a shit design boss.
Okay, which game was this? I missed that part then.
Remnant 2.
Remnant 2? I'm not familiar. What is it?
It's like soul-like game that you're an anomaly and you have to go through these worlds to fight this root system, and there's classes to level up and guns to level up, and there's 4 settings for hardness, and yeah, you just go around.
Oh, it
there's
just came out in July this year.
Yeah. And okay. That boss
for some reason
apparently...
when you said it, I could have sworn you said like Lords of the Fallen, but I guess that's just where my mind went when you went recent Souls game that isn't Lies of P.
Yeah. Yeah. But
a third person shooter. That's a Souls-like game. Okay. Well, that's different.
Yeah, it's, I mean, for the most part, like, all the other bosses were enjoyable. The last boss is just shit. It's just terrible. There's 3 phases. Third phase is just stupid. After a cutscene, you just have to survive long enough for them to cast some stupid spell. You can't really do damage to the boss, whatever.
It got pretty good
first
reviews
one,
overall, too.
Yeah, overall. And then the boss, which is a great divide in the community, apparently, because some people think it's bullshit. The other one's like, you just need to get good.
Is this the final boss or like some mid boss?
The final boss. Oh, all the other mid bosses have been fun. Because the second stage of the mid boss, everything is red. The boss is red. The background's red. The ground is red. The attacks are red. They're just maybe slightly different colors of red.
That sounds terrible.
So it's just all red. And then there's parts where you shift between two. Back to the first phase and the second phase during it. So the one guy is about to attack you, then you get phased into the dragon, and the dragon was already mid-attack, so he's instantly attacking you, then you get phased back right into the other person's instantly attack, and the boss never stops attacking. So it's just one attack after another. So you just pretty much have to survive and hope you out-damage him before he kills you.
Okay, I'm going to paste this image into our Discord chat here, because this is what you describing this final boss fight reminds me of. It sounds terrible. It sounds like a less interesting version than the final boss in Liza P.
It kind of looks like, all right, let me see if I can find a...
So for those listening, I have posted a picture of the Hell in a Cell match between Bray Wyatt the Fiend against Seth Rollins, a notoriously horrible, it's like one of the worst matches in WWE history. Because it's exactly like you described. There's just red everywhere and weapons and just nothing. It's so bad.
Same image. It's the same image.
Oh my god, they look the same.
And then it's like not even his attack. His attacks are also red, but you can kind of see a darker red thing that doesn't do damage. So those things are okay, but
so you can't like actually see the attacks coming because it matches the background.
You can, but it's just like you better hope you don't have to heal because by the time you're done healing, he's already attacking you. Like it's awful. Yeah, I think it's just, and then the cut back and forth.
Oh my god, what's with the grid?
Because he's corrupted, so you go in this corrupted state. Then sometimes he sends you back to his original form that you originally started fighting with. It's just, it's too much. Like, it's not fun. It made the game worse. Everything else about the game has been fun. All the other bosses have been tough, but fair. This one just is stupid.
Yeah, there's always that debate where if the final boss is, you know, way too hard or incredibly flawed or incredibly uninspiring, it's at, you know, whatever reason, what brought you to the ending of the game, you got to stick the landing in these games. You can't just lay a wet fart like this, and that's what the impression I'm getting.
Yeah, it feels like...
I'll give you an example. When I tried to beat Bayonetta the first time, the very first one, I hated the final boss so much that, and it wasn't just that it was a little difficult, it was the whole aspect of how I had to play the boss in general. I'm like, I am not interested in beating this. And it was just, the only satisfying part was like, you got to punch God, or whatever it was. That part was cool, but the lead up to that was, I thought, atrocious. It does ruin a good aspect of the game.
Yeah, so I'm also been playing that with my brother-in-law, and he's playing on the difficulty one higher than me, so we have a three-man group. And, yeah, with Jared, and then an ex-coworker of ours. And we're trying that on just the second difficulty. We can't get past the first phase at all. Ugh. It's because, like, the way the health works, once you have a three-man team, the thing has, like, way more health than it should, so it makes it extra hard. So we're struggling on that real, real bad.
I assume you're playing on PC?
PlayStation 2. PlayStation 5. Why am I saying PS2? PS5.
It's like, whoa, hold PS2 on. What magic did you use?
You got PS2 in my mind from one of our games.
Okay. You retrofitted it and then put some LAN cables together?
You know it. So yeah. And then on the PC, I'm playing City Skylines 2.
Okay. A nice relaxing game.
Yeah, which I guess a lot of people are upset with performance. But I mean, I didn't even realize I was only getting 15 frames because it's a city builder game. I didn't really think I need it more. But I guess people really like the detail and like to watch cars and things drive through. But it hasn't bothered me much.
Okay. So, yeah. How about that? Colin, how about yourself?
Well, I finally beat the City That Never Sleeps DLC for Spider-Man on PS4.
Ooh. A lot of Spider-Man going on these days.
Yeah, although in my case, this will be the last bit of it for a while. It was a nice, fun conclusion to everything, and it leads well into the Spider-Man Miles Morales game. Which, like I said, I'm going to hold off on for the time being because I got so much other shit to play.
What's on your list?
Well, I definitely want to finally start playing Sonic Superstars.
Okay. Yeah, I was just looking at that. I almost did an impulse buy yesterday because I'm like, well, I'm sick, but how do I get there?
Yeah, yeah. And I also want to play Hi-Fi Rush since that's been on my list for a while. I've been watching clips of it and it looks really fun.
Remind me.
I have it for Steam. What?
Remind me, what is Hi-Fi Rush?
It's like the cel-shaded rhythm brawler type thing where everything.
I believe you've talked about this before.
Yeah, it came out earlier this year in like January, I think. And yeah, it's.
Let me see if it's what I'm thinking of. No, that doesn't ring a bell. I like the cel shading, though. That's cool.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me of No More Heroes.
I was thinking of more like Beautiful Joe.
That, too. Like.
Okay.
It's a 3D brawler. I was probably thinking more along the lines of what No More Heroes did, because Beautiful Joe is on a 2D plane.
Yeah, that's true. It's just kind of. It just looks like the beat type graphics that it's going for. Let's see. What kind of reviews did it get as you continue to talk?
Well, it seemed to get pretty good reviews. It wasn't marketed very well, but word of mouth spread pretty quickly, and it seems to have been a success.
Yeah, the only one that gave it a bad review was PC Gamer, so maybe it wasn't optimized for PC.
Yeah.
On Xbox,
which is okay. Yeah, I thought that was kind of weird, but whatever. I'll definitely get into that sometime before the end of this year.
Ben and Yahtzee Krosha of The Escapist called Hi-Fi Rush great fun in his zero punctuation video. Well, how about that?
Yeah, that's part of what caught my attention for it.
Yeah, he's a good reviewer. I really like him. You got me into him. Been watching him ever since.
Yeah. Difficult to please, but when he has something good to say about a game, it's usually worth getting. And now that I'm done with Spider-Man, I've been focusing a lot of attention on Luigi's Mansion 3. I got the Gooigi power-up, which, for those who don't know, you basically create a goo version of Luigi, who can squeeze through grates and pipes and fences to be able to access certain areas.
Really in the Halloween spirit there, I see.
Yeah. And I think you can actually do like two-player co-op with Gooigi, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, you can do it single-player too, just like switch between the two, but I think there's like a two-player co-op for it. But it does add a lot to the gameplay, since, yeah, you need him to access certain areas, and on top of that, certain obstacles need Luigi and Gooigi to both use their plunger dart swing at the same time to smash certain things out of the way. Like if there's a big couch blocking a hallway, you get out Gooigi, he'll fire a plunger dart into it, and then you switch back to Luigi, fire a plunger dart. Then both of them inhale the ropes on the darts, and then they both swing it over and smash it. That's a fun mechanic. And it also does a good job with the whole Metroidvania thing of teasing things just out of your reach in the early levels to encourage you to progress. And then get the power-up necessary to get it. Truth be told, as far as atmosphere is concerned, I still like the first Luigi's Mansion better than the sequels, because it just feels more legitimately spooky in certain spots.
I guess. I mean, considering I haven't played the second one, I thought the third one, well, no, I guess I get what you mean. The first one is very much set up to be in and around this mansion instead of a hotel, so it seems more claustrophobic in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus it's darker in a lot of areas.
Yeah. But I thought the gameplay in 3 was like miles ahead, but of course that's GameCube versus Nintendo Switch, so, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, who knows? I don't know if they'll end up remastering the first game for the Switch. But
well, I don't know. They're remastering the second one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll probably get that. The Switch is very close to becoming my all-time favorite system. Like it's right there with like the PS2 and PlayStation for me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty high up there for me too. It's very convenient. And I've had a lot of fun playing stuff with my nephews on it.
I mean, the fact I can play it in bed while ill is a huge plus for me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of the Switch, I've still been playing further into the Messenger.
God, haven't you beat that yet? Shit.
I thought I would by now, too, but it's getting... A lot more stuff is coming. Even 3 whole levels have been coming up since I got past that certain supposed to be a final boss, but or at least I thought it was, but now you're just going through all the different levels that you've already been through, just like fast traveling between them to find stuff to unlock the end game. But the game just keeps finding new ways to keep me interested, and the soundtrack is fantastic, so it makes replaying the levels not just bearable, but actually fun. And this isn't a game, but I finally finished watching Future Boy Conan.
Oh, my man.
And it was a fantastic show. I really loved it.
Is it the best anime from the 70s? It's gotta be, right? Yeah,
I'd say so, even though it's the only one I've watched from the 70s, at least all the way through. I mean, maybe I'll take a look at old Lupin the Third or something.
Like, I really like Lupin the Third, but... Well, Astro Boy's like more 60s.
Oh, yeah.
But the 70s is filled with all the old, like, mechs and... Well, we should probably save that discussion for an anime podcast, but... Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
On the anime podcast, we did review Future Boy Conan, and we all gave it raving reviews. So go check out that episode. If you're listening to this right now, easily searchable. Red Leaf Retrocast, Future Boy Conan. There you go.
I will do that. Listen to it while I'm driving the truck at work.
Yeah, before it was finally re-released, like after whatever amount of times on Blu-ray, I had, there's a very... not credible site from like Malaysia that you can get all these things that have just never been released in the modern era on DVD.
Oh yeah.
So I've had that Future Boy Conan DVD for like well over a decade now.
Nice.
Yeah. And then they just released it like a year or so ago. And I'm like, a little late, but all right.
Yeah. It was in 2021.
Yeah.
I actually watched it with the English dub and it was actually really good.
Yes. I believe when they got around to dubbing it was with a lot of the Disney people that are involved with all of Miyazaki's works.
Yeah.
I think. Don't quote me on that one, but that's just my that's my hunch into the back of my brain.
Yeah, the whole time I was watching, I was seeing so many elements that made their way also into like Castle in the Sky and Nausicaa. It's just interesting seeing all that.
It's a classic. But it is the definition of a classic.
Definitely. Yeah, I may even share it with my family.
Yeah, it always comes up as what anime would you recommend to new people? And even though it's from the 70s, you can still recommend it today. It's wild.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's pretty much everything on my end.
Okay. So... I've had some time now that golf is over and bowling only takes up 2 days a week now. Haven't been bowling well. I know you guys are just pained to hear such a thing. let's just say I haven't been feeling my physical best in the last couple months. So I played, you're going to be shocked to hear this, guys. I played a Steam game on my PC. I know.
What?
The console guy. I played Poppy Playtime.
Oh, okay.
What's that?
You're not familiar?
Nope.
So it's an incredibly popular, like, horror, first person horror game that came out, I would say, what, last year? Maybe 2 years ago?
2021.
Okay, so chapter one came out in 21. Chapter two must have come out last year. And then I thought I read chapter three was out, and I'm like, ooh, I'm gonna get into the conversation. I'm gonna be all up. Nah, chapter three hasn't come out yet. It comes out like next month.
Plan release date sometime this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Winter 2023. Well, there's only fucking a month and a half left. But anyways, phenomenal, very fun, creepy game about a toy factory that shit has gone wrong and the toys are sentient. And they're very, very creepy from like 50s designs.
Yeah, has a lot of deep lore.
It's very Five Nights at Freddy's-esque. Speaking of which, Joey, you and I both watched the Five Nights at Freddy's movie. Did you, yes. Colin?
I have not. I haven't had time.
Okay, well, it's on Peacock, which I know all Canadians have. I gotta say, the movie was enjoyable, but I just do not understand how you make a Five Nights at Freddy's game, or a movie, off the game, and not have at least one iteration of you're in the security office trying to keep the fucking animatronics out. How do you,
I mean,
not,
they kind of did in the beginning.
No, that was just like, this guy's, it was like 10 seconds, and then he just gives up and runs away, and then dies.
Yeah, I mean, he barricaded himself in there.
But he didn't, like, do anything.
No,
they were just,
right,
like, knocking on the door, and then he goes through the vent and runs.
Yeah, and I think they did too much about dreams. Just a little too much.
Yeah, but, I mean, from what I can tell, a lot of Five Nights at Freddy's fandom really likes it because it just hit on nothing but the lore of the game.
Yeah, well, I mean, the creator was hands-on the whole way through.
Yeah.
So I'm like, and that's why there's a couple of YouTubers in it.
Yeah, well, they weren't able to get Markiplier because he was making his own movie.
Yeah, he was supposed to be the guy that dies in the beginning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's all. That would have been great, where he just fucks up. Yeah. Yeah, that would have been great.
Yeah.
Well, Jacksepticeye was in Poppy Playtime.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he was in one of the little VHS tapes that plays you a little bit of the lore of the game. So it's pretty rad.
Neat.
I beat the first two chapters. It's a really cool, I highly recommend it. I don't really talk about PC games all that often, but this is one I definitely highly recommend. It was a ton of fun. I love the little double hands mechanic where it's just grabby. Very satisfying sounds. It's got a good, it makes, what is that sound?
I was just kind of,
not me.
Okay. So chapter three is coming out any day. Watch the Five Nights at Freddy's movie. I wish there was a security scene. That would have been great. did not get it. Because that's what I was expecting the whole time. I was like waiting for it.
I'm looking at Poppy Playtime. It's reminding me of more of Bendy and the Ink Machine. In concept.
It's kind of like that. That kind of has a weird story, too.
Yeah, except instead of a toy factory, it's an animation studio, similar to Disney. But you got ink monsters stalking you the whole way.
Yeah, it's not too far off from that.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Five Nights at Freddy's movie, you should also check out Willy's Wonderland, which is along similar lines. But you got Nicolas Cage in the main role, and instead of running and hiding from the animatronics, he beats the shit out of them.
Oh, I have seen that trailer on Twitter. Yeah.
So many people recommend it.
I need to watch it. It's on my list to watch. Did watch it, and I just forgot. I think it's on Hulu. I'm not sure.
And the funny thing is, Nicolas Cage never says a word in the whole movie.
Never?
Apparently not.
Oh. Okay.
But he doesn't have to. His physical acting carries all the weight.
I suppose. That's what good actors do, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. I talked about beating Liza P. I just want to bring up that they did announce officially that there will be a sequel and there will be DLC coming soon to the game. So you bet your ass I'm getting that for sure.
Sick.
So yeah, I beat Poppy Playtime. I wanted to bring up Liza P. And I've just been chugging along through Super Mario Wonder. Enjoyable game. I don't think it's going to crack like my top, I don't know, 5 or 10 favorite Mario games, but it's excellently made, for sure.
Nice.
Yeah, it's very engaging. I'll put it that way. But no further thoughts on that for now. I haven't gotten very far because I've been chugging away at Final Fantasy 16. Yes, I finally did it. Yay. I'm like...
Nice.
I'm like 20 chapters in now of 48, so I'm approaching the halfway point in the game. So yes, slaves are still bad. I know everyone is shocked to hear that. how could you treat slavery as like people less than human? Oh my god. but it's a very theatrical game, which I was initially not expecting, because the more I play it, I'm like, there's a lot of cinematics to this. A lot less exploring an overworld, which I do actually appreciate the, I guess, what would be the phrase to call it? It'd be a divergence from a usual, like, Final Fantasy or RPG, where you're just traversing an overworld to find everything. It has closer to, like, a Fire Emblem overworld map that you just click to go to the next area, and then the section of the game is more adept to being in that area. So I guess it'd be closer to Armored Core 6 now I think about it, where you like pick your mission and go to that area.
Sounds a bit more like Final Fantasy 10, honestly.
Oh yeah, I guess it would be, wouldn't it? Yeah. Well, oh my god, I think you're right, Colin.
So it's not that new for the franchise. Hello?
Well, not that new. I mean, 10 came out fucking, what, 20 years ago?
Yeah, 22, I think.
Jesus, I mean, I guess it's new. It's a new concept again, because 2 decades have passed. But very much enjoying the story. I'm locked in on it. I like where they went with all of the elementals. Yes, it's definitely more action-based in real time. So there is that aspect to it. It doesn't really stick to much in that regard. You have these things called badges in the game that can allow you to do something that you're not very good at. So I have the game on a medium difficulty, but I am just so lousy at evasion in the real time of the game. So I have this evasion badge that essentially dodges for me for a good chunk of it. And just so many fights get overwhelming. And I'm just like, oh my god, I can't tell what the fuck is going on. I just can't comprehend it. So call me a little bitch if you please, Joey.
Little bitch.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I will be your lightning rod for all that. But yeah, it doesn't really have the same party acquisition that Final Fantasies generally have, where you're just gathering friends together. It's definitely more story focused of the game, which I understand, and I do like the departure that they've gone in this game. It definitely feels different. I haven't gone in any like depth over what the community might think or what Final Fantasy fans might think, but I have a strange feeling that they might feel weirdly similar to around Final Fantasy 13. That maybe they think it's a little bit too linear. And
yeah,
same issue with Final Fantasy 15 in the second half of the game, where it just goes straight, you know. But hey, they're remaking Final Fantasy 7. That's what matters to a lot of people over any new thing. So that's a lot of fun. Haven't picked up Breath of the Wild in, I guess it's a month now. Not exactly sure why.
Tears of the Kingdom?
Yes, Tears of the Kingdom. That's what I meant to say. Well, I definitely haven't picked up Breath of the Wild either. I guess that's technically true. But yeah, I'm just kind of playing games by mood right now, and that's okay. All right, we're 30 minutes into this thing. Let's talk about some giant fucking robots. Here we go. Okay, so basically this theme of mine came to be because Armored Core 6 came out and I was playing it, and I kind of wanted to remind myself what and how these kinds of games originated. So I wanted to see, like, control-wise how it holds up. And then another game was more of, like, its humble beginnings over just robot games in general. So got an NES game, got a PS2 game. So very much comparing kind of modern Armored Core 6, this extensive, deep, beautiful robot fighting game from 2023 compared to a game from, well, 23 years ago and then like 33 years ago.
Yeah.
See just what my overall feeling was. And besides the games I just talked about, I did play a hell of a lot of both of these games. Also, it helps when you're ill. You have a lot of free time when you're doing that and not sleeping. And you can kind of beat one of these in like a couple hours. But then Armored Core 2, spoiler, much longer. So, okay, we'll begin with the NES one. That is Metal Storm by Tamtex, published by Irem, who could forget. Came out North America, February 91, Japan, April 92. Worldwide, October 2019. I don't know what that means, but okay. I guess like phones and shit and Switch store and that kind of stuff. But you're a mech. You've been sent to Pluto to destroy not the Death Star, we swear. Pluto is a pissed off planet that became a weapon, and it took out Neptune, and now it's taken its frustrations over not being a planet in the future on Earth. Because Earth declared it not a planet. That is absolutely the plot. I will hear nothing of these of the other sorts. You agree?
Sounds
guys?
Like the moon from Majora's Mask.
Yeah. So Pluto's pissed. Earth sends a mech to destroy essentially Pluto from the inside. The mechanic of note is the gravity mechanic. You can jump, and then well, you press up, and then I guess it's like A. I guess it was A. Was it A?
Yeah, sure. Up and jump, you flip your gravity.
Right. Up and jump, or down and jump, you flip the gravity, and then there you go. And everything's kind of this like grid-like puzzle to go from left to right, flipping gravity as sorts to traverse the levels and destroy all of the like mechs that are on tracks or robots or defense systems that are across these levels. The game has infinite continues, which is... mwah! I love it when NES games have that. Oh, it's the best. And a very, very nice password system. So in case you want to turn the game off for once and come back, you can do that. Hey, that's two for two in things I like about old school gaming.
The only downside is that you lose all your power-ups if you continue.
Well, I mean, that's going to happen.
But they're not too hard to get back.
No, they're pretty... I thought a lot of the power-ups were very plentiful throughout.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think, Joey? You beat this game, right? In, like, 2 hours?
I didn't beat it, but...
yeah, you save-stayed it. You save-scummed it. Come on.
You don't really need to save-scum this. You get unlimited lives.
Just need to binge it.
I think some of the bosses are very weak. like the one in the second world.
Yeah, that was kind of, the bosses in here weren't that interesting, at least that I saw.
But I mean, the gravity thing was pretty cool, but that's pretty much all this game had going for it.
What you got, Colin?
Well, I was having a bunch of flashbacks to Atomic Robo Kid on TurboGrafx. If you remember that from our side-scrolling shooters episode.
Oh, yeah. That has a very similar mechanic, doesn't it?
Yeah. Although in that game, you can fly freely.
Yeah, this one, once you make that gravity commitment, oh, you're committed, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually discovered it by accident. I didn't realize that was like a key mechanic to the game. It was just...
When you first booted up Metal Storm, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
But thankfully it happened in the first 10 minutes, so it wasn't too frustrating. But, I mean, the one-hit kill system is a little bit frustrating. But there are power-ups you can get where you can take extra hits.
Yeah, you get shields and whatnot, and those are your extra hits. So I was less concerned about that. It felt like almost a Sonic system, really, where you get coins and I'll give you extra hits.
Yeah, yeah. Except you can't collect the rings after getting hit.
Right, yeah, that made it a little harder, for sure.
Yeah. I thought the visuals in this game were surprisingly detailed. Just like the robot animations, the explosions, and there was even a little bit of parallaxing with the background.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because as I was playing, I was like, okay, this game came out in 91. It's a late stage NES game. And I was like, wait a minute. How many NES games did parallaxing? I was like, I really couldn't think of any. Not off the top of my head.
Yeah, but the robot didn't match the box art, so that's a minus a point there.
this very much, you know, it's like the first Mega Man. It's like, who the fuck is that guy?
Like, they couldn't even get the colors to match?
Well, if he was blue and white, then he'd match way too many of the screens.
Well, then put him red on the box.
I agree. I don't know why they didn't do that. It's wacky. You know what?
Seems to happen.
I'm with you. Minus
with a
one.
Lot of. Seemed to happen with a bunch of NES games at the time. I mean, Clash of Demon Head definitely did that. Oh,
Clash of Demon Head. Unbelievable.
It's kind of funny that the visuals and sound in-game are so detailed, while the menu is just so understated. It's just title, start, options. No music or fanfare of any kind.
Yeah, I mean, that's NES in a nutshell, right?
Yeah, but there have been NES games that had some kind of, at least had some music behind it. And a great example of a game with a good detailed menu would be Batman. At least that I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, I understand that. Was, okay, I've clicked on, I couldn't find anything on Tamtex, the developer, but I believe Irem is the same company that came out with all the R-Type games.
Interesting. They
published all those, I think. All right, sure. Explains its degree of shoot 'em up and soft difficulty that it had.
And I thought level 2's environments were pretty trippy. It's like, going up and down, it repeats itself, goes in a loop, which
that makes really threw me off.
Makes for a bit of a confusing time when you're flipping your gravity to progress.
Yeah, you just kind of get stuck in this loop. I wasn't expecting just the screen to keep looping itself, so that really brought a different element to it. I like how there's a lot of platforms and arrows on other platforms where... The arrows mean you can only jump through them in the direction that they're pointing. And then platforms will go open and shut like a doorway affected by whichever part of the gravity you're in. So I really liked the puzzle element to this. It gave the game a lot more depth than initially put in the first like level or two.
Yeah, yeah.
This game is not cheap. Joey, would you care to guess how much this game runs for these days?
Over $100.
Oh, well, yeah, it's $120.
Yeah, I saw a review of that. Ah! Saw the price. Oh, and I was like, what? That made this game not worth it?
Oh, man. Yeah, I was lucky enough to... This was, okay, I either got this before the game increase trend of the 2010s, or it was given to me by Kevin when he was like getting rid of all of his NES games. So either way, I didn't pay $100 for it. So hooray. I got to play it on my original NES for this. It was a ton of fun. I got to feel like I was not violently ill while playing it for at least a few minutes before my headache kicked in and I had to close my eyes. Because let me tell you, there's a couple levels here where I would like go cross-eyed looking at it because of the color schemes and the parallax. I'm like, whoa, okay, I am not in a state to play this right now. No, my that doesn't bring laughter from my pain. No.
No.
No. No nihilistic really. Tendencies. Okay. So I will pass Metal Storm. I very much enjoyed this.
I pass it too.
I'll pass it if you're not buying it.
Well, not for $100, no.
Yeah.
There's definitely ways you can get this. Okay. Look at that. All passes. Go me. That's a rarity. Next game, Armored Core 2. Yes, we're going back to the far off year of 2000. That's when it came out. Mm-hmm. 23 years ago from Armored Core 6. Developed by From Software. Dun dun dun. Published by various companies. Let you pick which one. Came out on the PS2. It's a third-person mech game in which you're in essentially arenas choosing levels. You soup up your AC unit, armored core unit, for those not in with the fandom. Of course, right? We all know this. And there's like 200 parts choices as you go through the game, which is incredible. The problem is there's not really a lot of descriptions for them. The enemy descriptions aren't really there. It doesn't make much sense. Came to be, I went way further reading, and so far I found an interview with one of the developers. His name was Kaufman. Big YouTube video, actually, of him kind of explaining the development process and the translation aspects of the game, along with voice acting. So this is a fascinating story, and it's kind of representative of the era and time. I know we're going into a different aspect of the game, but it does affect like how you kind of read it, if that may sound a little strange, because... Let's face it, Armored Core was not part of like the demographic for the American audience at this point in time. Anime was just kind of starting to hit its stride, so it was very underestimated how popular this game would be. So, From Software did essentially telephone tag with the translation company, okay? how it would go is they'd talk to the translation guy, the supervisor of translations, and then he'd communicate what the things would be in English back to the team of like 9 guys. Okay, so you know, really robust translation team there. And then when they got the script or what have you figured out, they would ask for changes that would never come. And then they would send it off to a voice acting team that would have like no context. So very much excellent of the time stuff. I love it. You guys remember me talking about the JRPG book I got, which explained a lot of that?
Not really.
Okay. Well, I got a JRPG book, and it goes through a lot of different video games of the era that came to America, and there was always inevitably translation issues and trying to fit like text on a screen properly, and they'd have to change. Well, they could fit the text on the screen in this one, but they had like no information to go off of. So when you read things like enemy pilots and mission descriptions, it's basically the English version is like a made up version of the nine people just trying to come up with not quite their own story, but they're just trying to match whatever they could get based on very little information. So you'll come across things where it's like clearly these dudes are just popping themselves and telling inside jokes, trying to entertain themselves because they just have no context. And then the voice acting team, kind of in the same same position. I mean, you'll come across voice actors where they're just like, I'm going to make this character only roll R's. And you'll just have that. That was the one that stands out the most.
And one guy just sounds super evil.
Right. Yeah. They're just popping themselves and trying to make something fun out of just no information. Did it hurt the game? I don't think it did. It just made it of completely different, like, I guess, reading and lore experience of the game than the Japanese version. So it's almost like they're two different stories to some extent. But anyways, you're an AC, you're conquering Mars, and there's like missions to go off of, and you can't die. That's it's very Armored Core 2, Armored Core type plot basics. But yeah, you can easily search up Kaufman interview Armored Core 2, and it'll come up on YouTube. Very, very cool to see or to listen to kind of what these guys had to go through of this time and what they were kind of given and had to work with. So I actually kind of commend these guys because I thought they did a good job despite what they didn't have, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Joey, what'd you think of this game? Clearly you played it for like 8 hours and got so close to beating this 12-hour campaign.
No, I didn't play that much, but I remember playing it when I was a kid. I like the Armored Core games.
Did we play this, or was that like just before I met you? I think this was before we met.
Before, because I played one more than anything else, and I think I've run it two a couple times.
Okay, because I remember playing with a friend, and I was like, did I play this? I know I played it with my brother because he would have his own memory card. I would have my own memory card. We'd collect our own mechs, make our mechs, and then fight each other with the mechs in the multiplayer split screen.
If anything, we would have played three or beyond. I don't know if we would be playing a 3-4-year-old game when we met.
No, we were pretty much getting like last year's games on heavy discounts at like Game Crazy and stuff I'd always get.
Yeah, which would still put about Armored Core.
That would
I guess
just
2001.
Before.
So yeah. I guess this would fall in line when I moved to Texas. So potentially.
I think we just missed that, you and I. But I think this fell into the same era as like Need for Speed High Stakes, because I had some friends where we'd do the memory card games. And then, because High Stakes, you could get cars and then bet your cars and people would inevitably get mad. You know, this one, it was just you would, you know, I'd have a friend borrow my copy. They'd go in, save it on their own memory card, and then I'd go to his place or they'd go to mine. Yeah, now that I think about it, I think it was a couple friends in the apartment complex that was around the corner from my street there. Over on Houghton Drive. You remember?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that complex? Yeah, there was a few friends I had that lived over there. So yeah, I think it was definitely before the Joey era.
Yeah.
So how far did you get? Did you play like a few missions and then you're just like, I got it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, the game's the game. You just get better, I guess, parts as you go along. Don't have to play too much to see that I like it.
Okay. What about you, Colin?
Oh, I just watched like half an hour of a YouTube video.
But like a review or like an actual like let's play?
A playthrough.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, it surprised me just how similar it is between it and 6, because that one I have played.
Right. The concept hasn't changed like at all over the years.
Yeah. They've just done stuff to make the gameplay a little more smooth. And of course, upgrade the graphics. I mean, it's just amazing what From Software was capable of all the way back in the mid-2000s. Some missions actually made me want to go back and play Descent. Like with the malfunctioning robots in the military complex.
Oh, sure, yeah. Well, I can tell you, just from a price-wise standpoint, this game was about $5-$10 for the decade or so that, you know, these sites track this stuff. And then the second Armored Core 6 came out, this game boosted in price to over $40.
Jeez.
Yeah. It's slowly coming down now. It's at like 30 to 36, but it's funny when like a new game comes out in a series and then all of a sudden people want to play the old ones that you can only get on other platforms. So there is some correlation there. So if you see a game is going to come out and you know you're going to like it or be interested, as a retro gamer and person that likes these things, I try to get those games at the much cheaper price that they're at before the sequel comes out. So the game is heavily overpriced now. I'd wait for that to come down. The game's about 12 hours. Very much the same concept. Get the right setup for your AC, and there is a gameplay mechanic that you need to master, and it's like jump and strafe twice left to right, and then you can shoot your weapons and do engine boosts. That's kind of the way I can best describe kind of the general play style. And I say that because the controls is a battle in this. It does not have analog controls. Everything is through the D-pad, up, down, left, right. You look up and down on the, I guess, Z-axis, if you will, with the L2 and R2 buttons, which, you know, it's very early Spyro the Dragon type mechanics, in a way. And then you have your firing mechanics, and then your square and X interchangeably go together. So there's very funny videos out there where you can see people flipping the controller upside down in order to play. Turning it backwards so they can actually like hold it due to the controls and the control scheme. Clearly they fixed this later, but in terms of like what they were able to get with complicating controls, I think the controls was definitely a battle. That was the most jarring experience for me to get used to, was I'm like, okay, why in the PS2 era don't we have this dual analog thing? And lo and behold, this was a launch title. So I'm like, okay, I kind of get it now, but still, definitely kind of a cultural exchange was needed between what Japan is used to and what America is used to. And look, the game doesn't lag. The game's very smooth. The frame rate's awesome. So it's like, okay, if you can get used to the controls, which will be a jarring experience, like I said, I think you'll have a good time with the game, and you know what you're getting into at that point in time. There's a lot of shit on the screen going around. This was well made.
Yeah, I gotta wonder if Hideo Kojima took some inspiration for mech design from this game. Because one of the robot designs I noticed looks just like the Metal Gear Rex drones in Metal Gear Solid 4.
I mean, based on early designs I've seen from just the Metal Gear franchise and key art design, that for why do I know this off the top of my head? I don't know. I think he had, like, everyone in Japan kind of had their own theme of mech designs, but it was all based on the 70s and 80s mech designs that were already out there through anime, and they were just trying to best replicate that and put their own spin on it the best they could.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Because if, even if you look at like modern mech anime and shows, like not much has changed over the last 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
Very much still humanoid in a lot of aspects, or they look like the gun tank from the original Mobile Suit Gundam.
Nah, yeah. Yeah, I can't really think of much more to say about this. I give it a pass.
Yeah, I pass it. I played 8 hours out of the 12. I'm not sure I'm going to beat the game. I know I have in the past, but it just gives me a better idea and an appreciation for how far the franchise has come.
Yeah, pass it.
Two universal passes. Oh, my God. Is this a first for me? God, I came out with a golf topic, and I think like two of those games got Fs. That was back in August.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So our two games were Metal Storm NES, Armored Core 2, PS2. Joey, favorite and your tiers.
Armored Core, favorite. I'm going to give it an A, and I'm going to give Metal Storm a C.
All right. Okay. Colin, yourself?
Armored Core, also my favorite. I'll give it an A and Metal Storm a B.
Ooh, okay. So I'm the deciding factor here. Well, I also like Armored Core 2 the most. Most depth. It's kind of weird comparing an NES game to a PS2 game, but it can be done. I guess we did it. I do like Armored Core 2 more, even though I thought the controls were way more difficult to get used to. I'm going to surprise everyone. I'm giving Armored Core 2 a B. And I'm giving Metal Storm a C. So more of like average grades. But regardless, that makes Metal Storm a C overall and Armored Core 2 an A. There we go.
Cool.
So let's see here.
And he's gone.
Colin.
He's back.
Yes?
You have the next episode topic. Do you have one in mind? Might have to think about it a bit.
Maybe.
Mayhaps. Okay.
Actually, I think I'm going to go for indie inspiration. Games that provided certain mechanics or inspiration that would later be implemented into certain indie games.
Okay. I'm into it. I can't wait to see that. And hopefully I will be much better next time around.
Okay.
Man, we got through this giant fucking robot episode as I've been sick for the second straight time trying to do this, but I powered through, guys.
Nice.
If we were to have recorded this yesterday, I would have been a no-go for sure. But
all right.
That'll do it. See you next time, everybody.
Bye.
Bye now.